Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Adding more shelves and more shelves and more shelves and buying more records and buying more records.
All right, we're here at Suburbs Fest. We're recovering from night one.
That's right.
Which was fantastic.
It was fantastic.
What a bill. Last night. We did float. Airport 77,
yes.
Dear Daria.
Yeah.
And the folks who were there enjoyed it.
Indelible.
It was great. And tonight we're going to have Frank Muffin playing.
Oh, yeah.
And also the Half Smokes. It's going to be a lot of fun. But we're here this afternoon at Denizens Brewing, and it's quite lovely and pleasant. And I already forgotten what this is. Something Big Red Norm.
Big Red Norm
is this this beer, and it's quite tasty. And I'm a big fan of Cheers, so that's worked out great.
Yep.
Okay. But that's not why you call. So, it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And today we have Bud Verge. Hello, Bud.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing today?
Hello, Bud.
It's been a while since I checked in with the RTS crew.
It is. Bud Verge has been very busy with On the Verge Records.
Yes, that is the. That's probably what we're going to talk about right now.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Okay. Yeah,
excellent.
We're going to talk about On the Verge Records.
Before you do that, let me just say that Bud also came to the fest in Louisville.
I did. It was fantastic.
You loved that, didn't you?
I'm so glad I came.
Yeah, it was a great time.
It was like one of those. I'm like that kind of guy that like buys tickets like way in advance for a show, and then is super excited when it first gets announced, and then like the interest kind of wanes a little bit, and you're like, oh, this is going to be such a pain in the neck. I got to fly to Louisville. I got to bum rides off everybody.
Right.
I got 3 meals a day. I got to sleep in a different bed. And, oh, what a pain in the ass. So like a week before, you're like, maybe I could bag out of it, and then like the wife goes, well, what else are you doing with your life? Go hang out with your brothers. That's what she calls everybody here. Is my brothers.
Oh, we love her.
So she's then the interest kicks back up, and I tell you, I had a fantastic time. I think you know Louisville should be like the permanent spring home of RTS festivals.
I have heard that sentiment myself. Yes, I have.
I think we have enough boots on the ground that we can make it happen.
Very sure.
It's almost putting Silver Spring RTS Festival to shame a little bit. But we still rocked pretty hard last night at the Runaway.
Boy, no doubt.
We did. Okay. Putting 10 minutes on the clock here, Bud. What would you like to talk about?
If you haven't heard, a couple things have happened in the last year. Of course, I had quite a hobby of collecting records and, turning my lower level of my house into a record room and, you know, growing and adding more shelves and more shelves and more shelves and buying more records and buying more records. Well, probably about 6-8 months ago, I finally decided that, you know, I had a lot of records. I had a lot of duplicates. I might as well sell some of them somewhere. So somehow we hatched the idea of On the Verge Records.
Yeah.
And I made stickers. And I did all the merch before, like, actually opening a store. Because the merch is important. You got to get their name out there.
Yeah. You know, fun stuff.
Yeah. Before I even open a store or brick or mortar or have an online presence, you got to have merch. You got to have stickers. You got to have T-shirts, which I brought today.
Yes.
So if you want an On the Verge Records T-shirt, hit me up.
Yeah, man.
I got a bunch more in a truck that I bought because I went and bought a big collection. I had to make 2 trips in the SUV, and the wife was like, this is ridiculous. Well, and that was another side deal, but I ended up getting a truck finally after 3 years.
Right.
So we got the truck 2 months ago, and now its primary purpose is to haul record collections.
Haul record collections that you purchased.
So, we got On the Verge Records going.
Wait, we got to stop here. So your wife.
My wife.
Said.
The angel and saint that she is.
Yes, she is.
Yes. This is where I'm going. Because you're buying so many records, you now need to buy a truck, which is something you wanted anyway.
Something I wanted anyways. I worked that into the deal.
Yes. Yes. Is that that's
I don't know how it happened, yes,
right?
But I think it's something we should all follow. Yeah.
I will tell you, like 3 or 4 months ago, she went on a girls' trip, and I showed her a truck like online that I wanted to buy, and she's like, sure, go buy it.
Oh.
Which is immediately, like, if you go out and buy that truck, you are getting divorced when I get back from girls' trip. That's the, like...
And it'll be my truck.
It was a test, yes. I didn't go buy the truck. But we had a deal, like, she wanted to get a dog, I wanted to get a truck, so we kind of tied it together. We had a basset hound for a whole bunch of years, and the dog, you know, lived its life. And we fostered one over the summer for a couple of days or a couple of weeks, and we had gotten so out of practice of being dog owners.
Yeah.
after not having a dog in the house for a year, like having the dog and having to take it out like 5 or 6 times a day,
yeah.
and like the dog's always in the room where it happened, and this dog couldn't sleep by itself, so it had to be in the bedroom, which is a big no-no in our house after 20-something years.
Yeah.
So the dog bounced out of our house, unfortunately. She said, you know what? She said, I gave the dog a try. You can get the truck.
Oh,
and I'm like, yes.
That's cool.
We are driving down on Saturday. We're buying a truck. So we bought a truck, and I've had it now for about 2 months. It's fantastic.
Wow, that's great. That's great. All right.
How do you know somebody owns a truck? Oh, they'll tell you. So,
all right. So get back to On the Verge Records.
On the Verge Records. I was buying a lot of records. And I had a lot of extras and dupes and stuff I really wasn't interested in. So I, you know, started, you know, working in some Facebook groups, unloading some records. And, you know, it turned into like, you know, a couple bucks here and there. And I just kept buying more and more and selling more and more. And every time I bought, you know, a collection of, you know, a couple of random boxes of records, I would, you know, keep some for myself because, you know, you got to get high on your own supply just a little bit.
That's right.
And, you know, and then I would end up selling them all off to get rid of them or turn some money, and I'd give them away or, you know, make free boxes for people to come pick up. So, you know, as many boxes as I bring into the house, just as many are going out. And just over the last couple of weeks, the postman has started to ring my doorbell every day at like 11 o'clock asking me, do you have any stuff going out today? Because that's one of the beauties of working at home. I'm there all the time. You can just ring my box and just, I'm like, oh, yeah, here you go. You just saved me a trip to the post
Beautiful.
Office.
Beautiful. That's great.
So we have the On the Verge Records, which is a bit of a play on two things. My brother has an On the Verge Racing. He's big into cars. He turns old Subarus into rally race cars.
Wow.
He calls that On the Verge Racing.
No kidding. Wow.
Cool.
So I just kind of like, appropriated that and made it On the Verge Records.
Like Tokyo Drift kind of stuff?
No, like they give them directions and like times to get to places, like in backwoods places and like the woods or whatever, and they drive super fast over hills, like Dukes of Hazzard style to get there. So he turns old Subarus into
interesting.
Or Porsches into rally cars. So
cool.
I stole his name, and unfortunately, my On the Verge Records logo, which was designed by a friend of my wife's, unfortunately, looks a little bit like the Snyder's Rhythms Suburbs Radio logo, so I do apologize for that. It was not intentional, but I think I made it good by giving Mike a T-shirt.
Yeah. Bud, one thing that I'm interested in about your record-selling business, and you've told me this, is that you purchased a record-cleaning machine. And I find this to be tremendously great that you do this. For people that buy used records. So you actually run it through this professional cleaning machine before you send it out to people who have purchased. Is that correct?
I do. There's a lot of...
That's amazing.
A lot of schools of thoughts about cleaning records, and one of them is ultrasonic. And you see a lot of these cheap, like $100 or $200 ultrasonic cleaners, which basically use water and ultrasound to clean the records and get all the gunk off of them, because you don't know where they've been for the last 50 years. But I bought a cheap one, and it lasted about a week, 2 weeks, and just didn't work. So I went out and used my record funds to buy a decent one. And it's the night and day. It'll take any record that's been through who knows what over the last 50 years. It's got all sorts of gunk and grime on it and cleans it up real nice and sounds like it was just pressed yesterday.
That's amazing.
Wow.
That's incredible.
You don't have anything like that, Patrick?
No, I do not. No, I just try not to drop them. If I sell something on Discogs, I try not to drop it on the floor before I put it in the package or crinkle it. I think that's an amazing service, especially when, you know, you're looking through all the options you have to buy a used record on Discogs or online or Facebook or whatever, and to have a service like that to me, is a touch of class, touch of quality.
It is.
It really is.
So, of course, the long-term dream is to eventually open a shop, but the wife is
brick and mortar,
not allowing me to clear out our savings in order to do that. And her suggestion is, why don't you hit up all your friends to see if they can put money into opening a record store?
Yeah.
And I'm like, honey, their wives aren't going to allow them to do that either, all right? It's a bad idea all the way around.
Right.
So,
and in one case, the guy only has $20 to his name. So.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick, you and I have talked a little bit about a dream of opening a shop. You know, we call it Bud's Country Bunker or something. And, you know, I got the perfect spot up in Laurel, Maryland. It's at the corner of Route 1 and Whiskey Bottom Road. I mean, there can't be a more perfect location for a record store / music club.
That's
that intersection.
That's right. And packaged goods, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
ABC on and
so
off.
So that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, that would be beautiful.
But,
One day. And I did bring you a whole bunch of leftover stuff from weird stuff I found in boxes.
Which I greatly appreciate.
I've sent you a couple stuff before, and you've seemed to enjoy it. I mean,
I do very much. It will make a playlist or material for my radio show. And
I'm one of ten listeners.
That's right. You're one of the tens.
I'm usually good at the slurp, and then Terry comes home and says, "Turn that crap off. Can I watch TV?"
So he's drunk.
If you have a on the suburb or on the radio, or what do we call it? Rock in the Suburbs radio show, and you're on between like 5 and 7, I will listen until my wife comes home. At that point, she says, "Turn that crap off. I want to watch TV."
There you go.
Unfortunately, your listenership dips probably not 20 or 30%
at
that
right.
point.
Probably 30%.
Yeah.
Did you always, I have to ask you this, did you always harbor dreams of owning a record store or doing something like that?
I've always loved records since I was a wee lad. We didn't have much in our town growing up until I was in high school and we got a Strawberries Records, which was like Waxy Maxies around here. And I would always, you know, take my paper route money or my supermarket job money and buy records. When I got out of college, I ran a record store for a couple of years until I moved to Maryland in the mid-90s. And that was fun. Got a lot of promos, a lot of CDs. It was fun to run one, but didn't really think about it for a whole bunch of years. And all of a sudden, I got back into vinyl a bunch of years ago. And I'm a bit of an addictive personality, so I just started buying and buying and buying. And now it just seems like, you know, if I turn a couple $100 every month, it's good walking around money, you know?
Absolutely.
Well, when we were in Louisville just recently, we had John Timmons on the podcast, and you were there in the audience, and his advice to any prospective record store owners was,
I heard loudly and resoundingly, don't do it. Which only makes me want to do it more.
Of course.
I want
You're not allowed to open a record store, son.
Yes, but also we'll have a club in there, and our club will be called like In Bed by 9:30 now.
There it
because
is. Yep.
Somebody already beat us till In Bed by 10.
Yep.
We're going to be the opposite of the 9:30 club where the headliner goes on at 9:30. Our headliner is going to be off by 9:30.
That's right.
Encore
ends at 9:30.
In bed, get a decent night's sleep, and go to work the next day. So
everyone's applauding.
It'll be fantastic.
That's right.
All right, Bud Verge, thank you.
Thanks, everybody. And come see me if you want a T-shirt. I got a bunch. Hit me up over the weekend. I got more.
Let's see if I can get a new question out of here. These are bad questions. Somebody did not do their job. That's a musician question. Let's save that one.
I think you need a bag of questions, intern.
Yeah, we definitely do.
Here we go. Here's your question. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like I do?
I do, but only at dusk. Only at dusk.
All right, hurry up. Bud Verge, everyone.
Thank guys, you for, guys, thank you for thanks so much for organizing all these RTS sessions. It's such a great feeling to be surrounded by so many people that have so many great interests and are very similar to us and grew up in different parts of the country, but this is the one thing that kind of brings us all together. I call you all brothers and sisters from another mother. It's fantastic. It's like the family. You know, I live 500 miles away from my family, but I consider you guys all my family as well.
Oh,
thanks
man.
So much.
Thank you, Bud.
Thank you.
Bud, this may be a redundant question. Do you want another album? Or
I don't bring sand to the beach.
Okay, that sounds good. How about an Elvis or a postcard? You're good?
I'm good on Elvis postcards.
Okay.
All right.
Although we are planning a trip maybe to go to London and go to Manchester in the winter. So, of course, if we're talking about pilgrimages, I got to go to the Salford Lads
That's
Club.
That's right, the Salford
If you don't
Lads
know what that
Club.
Is, look it
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You'll be there.
All right. All right, cool. Thank you, Bud.
Thank you, Bud Verge.
Rock in the Suburbs here at Denizens Brewing. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Talk to you later.
The boy with a thorn in his side. Behind the hatred there lies a murderous desire. Don't believe me. How can they hear me say those words? Still they don't believe me. And if they don't believe me now, will they ever believe me? And if they don't Oh, want to believe us. And if they don't believe us now, will they ever believe us? And when you want to live, I just...
How do you know somebody owns a truck? Oh, they'll tell you.